involving some nefarious scheme with computer hackers. It's something that you don't think will happen in this country, but it does. It does, and it has to be changed. But the only way it can be changed is through education, through people knowing what they're talking about. You have to know why you're standing up for something, why you're fighting for freedom of speech. You have to have a concept of what freedom of speech is all about. And here at WBAI, we try to instill that concept of freedom of speech. We do it 24 hours a day. Almost every program aired on this radio station would not be able to be aired were we a commercial radio station. Because there's certain things you just can't do when you've got sponsors breathing down your neck. It's a reality of the situation, and a lot of people in commercial radio that envy what we can do here at WBAI. We can do anything at WBAI. Anything. You name it, we can do it. But we also have to survive. If we do not survive, if we're not able to raise money, and we have fallen pretty far behind, I think. I mean, I'm not a professional analyst or anything here, but looking at the numbers, it doesn't look like we're moving at the clip that I'm used to. That can be fixed with just a few people calling in with some pledges. 212-279-3400. We know it's 12 minutes after 3 o'clock in the morning, but there's people out there. There's plenty of people out there. And you all matter to us. You all count. Every person adds something. And you may say, well, I can only pledge $25 or something like that. That's not going to make a difference. But you get one person pledging $25, you get another person pledging $10, you get another person pledging $15, and before you know it, you're over $50. And that's significant, folks. That is significant. And then you hit $100. And then you keep going, you know? It's just one person after another. We all link arms and move forward. It's like, you know, when you go down to Washington, D.C. to protest for something, one thing or another. You think there's something wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. That's what this nation is all about. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And, you know, you walk down, you get off a bus or, you know, a train or whatever, and you see, like, you know, 5, 10 people. You say, wow, there's some people here, but it's not really a lot. And then you turn a corner and you see 100 more and you start feeling good. And then you all walk down the street and you turn another corner and you see 1,000 people. And it all just keeps growing until you have this massive bunch of individual people, every single person different from the other, but they've all joined together for one thing. And whether or not they get that one thing immediately, they've participated in the process, they've raised their voices, they have been heard. And I'll tell you, a couple of times going down to Washington, D.C., I don't think we would have been heard had it not been for stations like WBAI and the whole Pacifica Network. Now, it's a stepping stone. One thing leads to another. And a strong radio station here in New York City leads to people that are inspired to do something in other parts of the country. Like I mentioned before, WBAI has become famous throughout the world because of what we do here. And if you go to, you know, other places like Gary, Indiana, and I don't mean to pick on them, but I'm just saying, you go to a place that's not New York City, does not have a Pacifica radio station, well, you won't hear the things you hear on this radio station, period. You won't hear them. You will not ever hear what we say here. And that's sad. Because the only way to make an informed decision is to be able to think of what people are saying, to be able to hear opposition, conflicting views. Now, a lot of the major networks and the most popular, successful commercial stations don't think that's important. They want ratings. They don't want controversy. They don't want people thinking. They just want to spit the same old garbage out and have you swallow it all, but you do have a choice. You can vote. And commercial radio stations are not free. They cost you, too. They cost you plenty because advertising is probably the most expensive thing that that a company pays for. And that certainly passed along to almost every product you buy. So, yeah, you do pay for commercial radio. You do pay for commercial TV. The only way you can pay for non-commercial radio, though, is to pledge. And that's something that comes right back at you. Because whenever you pledge to WBAI, you'll be getting the WBAI folio for a full year. It's 12 months. And tonight, we're offering several different incentives for people who call in. First of all, everybody who pledges anything will get a free copy of the magazine that I work for, which is 2600 The Hacker Quarterly, where we talk about issues such as Steve Jackson Games and the crackdown by the Secret Service on 14-year-old kids who call computers and do various mischievous things and then wind up with dozens of people pointing guns at them and scaring them to death because of a system they don't understand. We write about that. We write about privacy issues, about things that you need to know. And that's something we also do here on the radio. It's something we want to continue doing. Okay, two callers on the line. Let's get a couple more, because we know you're out there. We know it means something to you. And we want it to be able to continue. And we beg for the people calling in to please be patient, because our tally room staff has been rather low. The more calls we get, the better we will be. The stronger this program will be, the more facts we can bring you. You know, we can get out there and give you all kinds of information. Because there's so much happening. You know, Steve Jackson Games is just one thing. It's just one thing. And there's a lot going on. You know, we told you the story of Kevin Mitnick, who was known as the Dark Side Hacker. He was the person that could do anything. He was so dangerous. This person was so dangerous that the California authorities had to lock him up in solitary confinement. Solitary confinement! For long periods of time. Because they were so afraid of him. They thought that once he got to a telephone, he could almost destroy the world. And these are people in positions of power that feel this way. These are judges and prosecutors and news reporters that actually believe that someone is that dangerous and that the systems that are operating our lives, the computer systems, telephone systems, are so fragile that one person can cause them to destroy themselves. Now, Kevin Mitnick has been out of prison for over a year, about a year and a half, I suppose. And we wanted to get him on the program tonight, but you know what? There's a little condition of his release that he not talk to media. He has to ask permission every time he talks to anybody related to the media, and they don't grant it. They just don't grant it. It's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. But they don't want him talking to the media. And you have to ask yourself, why is that? You know? What are they afraid he's going to say? It's a scary situation, as I said earlier. And it's going to get scarier unless we have some education, unless we have people that show they care and that are willing to stand up and speak their minds. please stand up and speak your minds by calling us and showing you support this radio station and are willing to keep it going. Because if we don't get those calls, we can't charge into the 90s with the passion that we want to charge into the 90s with. Imagine if we weren't able to be here, or we had to cut down on our transmitter height. We couldn't afford to raise the transmitter because everybody on the Empire State Building is moving to a higher location at an immense cost. If we weren't able to participate in that, less people would be able to participate in the process, and that would be a tragedy. That would be a damn shame. 212-279-3400. We are getting calls. I see the calls coming in. There's three calls on the line right now. Three calls on the line. Please, let's get a bingo. We can do it. I know we can do it. 212-279-3400. And we want to thank some people. We want to thank Susan from Brooklyn. We want to thank Rick from Clifton, New Jersey, who we mentioned before. We want to thank Florian from New York City, Alice from Mount Kisco, Mark from Manhattan, and John from Woodside, who says Off the Hook is his favorite show. Well, that's good to know. That's good to know. It makes me feel great to know that people out there are into the program, because I try to find bits and pieces of information that are pertinent to what's going on today. You know, there's a lot out there. There's a lot of garbage out there. You ever pick up a computer magazine, you read all this trade talk, you know, about operating systems and RAM chips and all that. It's interesting if you're in a particular world and talking to certain people and you speak that little lingo, but once you start talking to other people, once you start talking to people outside the world, you start using that lingo and you turn them right off. You know, they're not interested in that kind of thing. Not interested at all. You have to find a way to relate it, to relate your world to somebody else's world. What we have right now is factionalization, where everybody's in their own world and nobody is interested in other people's worlds. And that's sadly what happens so much of the time in the computer world. People see you sitting down, tapping away at a terminal, and they just think you're nuts. They just think you're interested in you know, playing with chips and basic and C programming and all that kind of thing. They don't see how it relates to their world, and it does. Oh boy, it does. What computers are doing today, what they're controlling, what they're designing, what is happening on the networks? It's fascinating. It's exciting. It's intriguing. And it's something that affects each and every one of us. But if we go through life not knowing that, not realizing what's happening, not seeing the potential threat and the potential abuses, then we're just opening ourselves up for a kind of oppression that has never been experienced before. Look at what's happened. Look at what's happened with your credit reports, your social security numbers, your phone numbers. You know, there's so much information about you currently stored on computer that it would make your head swim. We don't all have FBI reports, although I think most of us probably do. But probably the vast majority of us do have a file in TRW, and that file decides your future. If you get a bad credit rating, it's almost impossible to straighten it out. I've heard that from so many people. And it's so sad to see this happen. How do you fix something like that? Once somebody has labeled you in a particular column of a computer program, it's hard as hell to get moved to the other column of the computer program that labels you as good. Good or bad. Which are you? No one has ever asked us for our input. Did anybody ask you if it's okay to keep a file on you about your your payment history on your Sears bill? Well, I've got news for you. If you have a Sears card or if you have a Visa card, there's a computer file that says how you have paid your bill over the past several years. If you're a month late, if you're 2 months late, if you pay on time, it's all there. And it can be looked at. Not just by computer hackers. No, they're not the threat. The threat is all the people who make decisions that are able to just categorize you at any time. And then we have Social Security numbers. We have all the phone records. You can find out so much about somebody by analyzing their phone bills, seeing where they were at a particular time, looking at their credit card purchases, what they buy, where they buy it. A lot of information is stored about all of us, and it's something that we should be playing a very major role in. Now, something else that I sort of like to dwell upon, but please, people, do call 279-3400, area code 212, because we want to keep these thoughts coming at you, we want to keep the information coming at you, and we want to also hear from you. We're going to take some phone calls in a little while. Has anybody heard of the latest controversy involving an online computer service? An online computer service used by, I believe, 1 million people now. 1 million people. It's something that's geared towards the average American. This is the introduction to computers, to online technology. A system called Prodigy. Many of you have heard of it. Many of you probably use it. I'm not going to pass judgment on this particular computer system because that's something that we can do another time. But this computer system has been criticized in the past for censoring various pieces of correspondence on its network and for kicking users off who criticized their system a little bit too much. But I think the most important and probably the most scary thing has happened recently, where people have looked a little bit closer at what Prodigy actually does. Now, the way the system works is this. You sign up for an account, and you tell it what kind of a computer you have, and when you call up their system using your computer, the two systems kind of do what they call handshake. Your system reaches out and writes some data to the Prodigy system, and then Prodigy, and this is what's new, this is what's different, Prodigy reaches back and does some stuff to your system. And the reason for this is it makes things go faster. You can have quicker access to certain menus and screens because you have a profile that is written to your hard disk, and it doesn't have to look for you in the Prodigy computer somewhere. It can just look on your system and see what you like and what your configurations are, and it can make it go so much quicker. So it's a good development in that sense, but there's something that nobody apparently had ever thought of. Prodigy writes a file to your computer system, a file that asks for a rather large amount of memory, something like 200K, I believe, and that space is not always used. In other words, they tell your computer that they need a certain amount of space, and they use some of it, but the rest is just kind of waiting to be used. Well, somebody decided to look at the rest of the file, the unused section, and they analyzed it. They went through a little program that analyzes every sector of a disk, and they looked at the unused part of this file, which is known as stage.dat. And as they were looking at this file, they noticed something very disturbing. They noticed that in that unused section were bits and pieces of other files, files that had nothing to do with Prodigy. Old letters, old databases, a listing of all the other files on the entire computer. Now, why was this information inside this file that Prodigy was using? It's quite simple. These were MS-DOS machines. And it's the nature of that particular operating system to not erase the data after an old file has been erased. In other words, when you erase a file, you simply erase the name of the file, but the data is still there. And it's there until another file writes over it. And so until that Prodigy file, known as stage.dat, had written over it, that old data would still be there. So, yeah, you could say, well, Prodigy didn't do anything wrong. They simply requested a certain amount of space on your hard drive, and within that space was bits and pieces of your old data. But, folks, how many of you knew that that was how it worked? How many of you knew that when Prodigy did this, they could conceivably have access to all of this information? All it would take would be somebody at Prodigy looking at your file a little closer. Now imagine if you were, say, Dan Quayle or somebody. Pick a name out of a hat. And Dan Quayle subscribed to Prodigy. And Dan Quayle had a file known as stage.dat. And one of you worked at Prodigy and knew that Dan Quayle had this file. Would you not be rather tempted to take a closer look at his stage.dat file? And when you did, you would see bits and pieces of his personal letters and names of his other files, and then you'd be able to program your computer to access those files, and so on and so on. Now, suppose you're a criminal, or a suspected criminal. Do you think law enforcement might be tempted to ask Prodigy to look a little closer at your computer since they have the capability of doing that? It's a lot of questions to ask there and a lot of disturbing trends. And since this particular kind of computer system that Prodigy is using seems to be what the future holds for us, or at least that's the way it's been promoted, we had better start asking those questions now before this becomes the way it's done. Like I said, it's a scary prospect if we move into the future without education, without seeing that every technical advance can have repercussions and that technology can be used against individuals. That's something that the only way we can learn is by getting all the information we can. And here at BAI, we're determined to get that information out. Please give us a call now, 212-279-3400, and show your support for this radio station. Show your support for the protection of the individual in whatever way possible. You know, 10 years ago, we weren't even talking about this kind of thing on the radio. And I wonder what we will be talking about 10 years from now. You know, who knows what kind of things will be happening then. But we have the obligation to stay on top of the situation. We have the obligation to learn as quickly as things change. And to interpret things so that those of you in one particular world will see how something in this world pertains to them. It's extremely important not to lose sight of that. 212-279-3400. Remember, everybody that calls in and pledges No matter what amount you pledge, we'll get a free copy of 2600 Magazine, the Hacker Quarterly, which has been publishing since 1984, appropriately enough, and hopefully will be continuing well into the future. For those of you that want to pledge a large amount of money, we still have a year of unlimited admission for two people to the New Community Cinema in Huntington, Long Island. That's for a $500 pledge, and it's worth a lot more than that. You can figure it out, too, if you want to go to that place every night and every day for two people. So for $500 pledge, you can get that. We also have a course at the Learning Center for the fall semester. That's October through January. Courses in community planning, ecology, feminism, humor. That's for a pledge of $150. You can get that. In addition to the free copy of 2600 and the 1 year of the WBAI folio. That's one option. There are many options. You can pledge virtually any amount that exists. And every last one of them counts. Every last one of them helps us get a little bit closer. Yeah, there's a lot going on out there. A lot happening. And we all owe it to ourselves to stay as on top of the situation as possible. What else do we have here? We have 50 Ways to Fight Censorship. That's a book available for a pledge of $85. Oh, I'm sorry, I was wrong. $65. $65, you can get the book 50 Ways to Fight Censorship. For a pledge of $75, you can get a 3-cassette kit called Media Censorship and the First Amendment. And this is all stuff that will last forever. It will always be pertinent, always be important and timely, as long as the First Amendment is around. We also have t-shirts and tote bags and baseball caps. Take your pick. We have all those kind of things. But it's not that so much. It's what you're getting back over the airwaves that matters. It's a strong signal, strong programming. And diversity, variety, that kind of thing. That's what's important. 212-279-3400. Let's see, one more call. One more call come in because we want to hear from some listeners. We want to read some more bits of information, of which we have plenty. 212-279-3400 is our telephone number. And, yeah, we've been doing this for a while, since 1960, I believe we've been on the air, asking for your support. And our listeners have not let us down. They have a long history of not letting us down. 212-279-3400. We want to thank people for calling in. We want to thank those of you that are considering calling in, and we'll no doubt do so in the moments ahead. And if you want to be on the radio, 212-279-3407, we'll be taking questions in just a couple of minutes. This is a piece of new music from what's left of Big Audio Dynamite, known as BAD2. We'll be back in a moment.
If I had my time again, I would do it all. Right. I'm fully grown, and I know where it's at. Somehow I stay thin while the other guys are fat. All the chances that I've blown and the times that I've been down, I didn't get too high, kept my feet on the ground. Situation over.
Delightful, delightful.
Special change of atmosphere.
I wish I could sing like that. Not everything's singing, you know. The only important thing these days is rhythm and melody. Rhythm and melody. Now we'll rush for a change of atmosphere. I can't go on, so I keep it. Gotta get myself right out of here. Situation now.
And that's Mick Jones and the remnants of his band, Big Audio Dynamite, with their new name, Big Audio Dynamite 2. And a change of atmosphere. There's a change of atmosphere coming along here. We'll return in about 15 minutes with the rest of Off the Hook. We're on the air until 6 o'clock in the morning. And we'll be taking phone calls at 212-279-3407, taking pledges at 212-279-3400. We want to thank Michael from New Rochelle for his generous donation. Night Shift is usually on at this time. For the next 15 minutes, we're going to be hearing something different. We'll be back at about 4 o'clock, so stay tuned.
Yeah, I just want to say that I feel just the complete antithesis of what... how he felt. I welcome the light touch, and
thank you.
I find him very
entertaining,
enjoyable. And if he's not into the light touch,
you can listen to most of BAI stuff.
Eggheads. You know what happens is some of these young black people, they think because they have a little bit of knowledge that everybody else is an egghead, and they only want
everybody,
to talk
everybody
about
else is a what? Everybody else is a what?
Academic things to show off, you know, their knowledge. And
You think only black people do this?
What's that?
Only black people do this?
But he was a black person.
Yeah.
Well, I find that's the kind of criticism they're always giving, because they get a little bit of knowledge, and they have to show off their knowledge, and they can't... handle a balanced light touch.
All right. Well,
know,
I'm not quite sure what you're saying. You're saying that now. Are you saying that other than blacks do this, or are you? This is something you find
but
that happens.
But he was black.
Yeah. But that's
so
not
I'm
what I'm
just
asking.
Commenting on why I feel he, reacted that way, because he's so full of himself, because he has a little bit of knowledge that he can't handle the light touch. Why is that other guy, Chris? Is that Chris that's laughing like crazy?
For the most part, yeah.
Huh? What's your name?
My name?
Yeah.
My name is Mike.
Mike?
Yes.
Oh. What, isn't Curtis on sometimes at this time of the
day? No, he's on before us.
Oh, he's on before you.
Yes.
Why does Chris think that's so funny?
What's so funny? Well, he thinks it's funny because I'm black, and you just made a comment.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes.
But the fact is that I noticed that a lot of black people do that. They get so carried away because they want to show off their knowledge.
Well, can I go offer you another? Can I offer you,
Mike? You know,
Sidney Smith. I feel he's right on. You know,
Sidney is right on.
The younger ones. Are you young?
Yeah, she's talking about you, Mike. She's saying you are full of yourself, and you are. You know,
Chris. If anybody at this station were full of themselves, it would definitely be.
I don't hear you.
No, I was talking to my co-host.
Oh, but is Chris black too?
Yes, he's black too.
Oh, that's why he's hysterical. Well, but I'm just giving you my opinion.
Uh-huh.
And my opinion is based on the fact that I've seen this happen time and again with the young people.
Mm-hmm. I think she's right.
And because they have know something serious, and they're not balanced.
Uh-huh. Well, I could tell you this. I could say several things in response to what you're saying, but I only have like 4 minutes left, so I probably couldn't say as much as I want to say. But I in defense of these quote unquote young black people who have, as you put it, a little bit of intelligence and want to show it off, I think that in a reversal situation, that there are a number of people who have less intelligence of many other races who feel they want to show it off. And in my opinion, if you have something to say, I think you should say it. And that's what I support. You know, I think that the man who called us, I mean, while I will defend my show and what we're doing, and even my somewhat full of himself partner, I still think that what he had to say is valid, because there are some people that want to hear something serious. But what I would say is that he should listen to this station pretty much most of the day. Late at night, like Curtis and Clue are pretty light too. Don't you think?
Well, as a matter of fact, I've been listening to this station for 30 years.
Well.
Yeah.
Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris?
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah.
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 Are you there?
Yeah.
So, Chris,
what's up with that horn, man?
I don't know. So we've got about 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's all we have, 10 minutes.
So this is the very short
version. This is what happens when you don't give money to our show.
That's right.
We get knocked off the air.
We've been
knocked
off the air because we didn't raise enough money last week.
That's right.
So I sincerely hope that you help.
Yeah, you got to start calling right now.
Definitely. 279-3400 is the number.
Yeah, because Night Shift is...
Night Shift was the show.
Yeah.
If you pledge money, we might be back next week.
Exactly.
Chris will be gone, and...
I'll be gone, and...
That's it.
And then I guess more blacks will be running the station, right?
Well, the blacks are taking over.
They're taking over,
They're taking over the station.
Yeah.
And just give us a little bit of intelligence.
Too much intelligence.
What'll happen is that we're going to just get uppity, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. We need those contributions because, you know...
That's right. We've got to stop that takeover. So
what
happened? All these people calling on 279-3407. Now, are these people calling for Eric's show, or do you think
they're calling for Eric's show?
What's that cool tune that you wrote?
That cool thing?
Yeah. People like when we do cool stuff, don't you? So how's it going out there, everybody, huh? It's 3:53 a.m. We've been allotted 15 minutes because that's all we got, man.
No, we have basically to... because we here at BAI stick together, that's why.
Yes, yes. Mike, what's your place of James Bond, man? You found it? You got it? Ooh. Well, anyway, the number is 279-3400, and we're all in a push here to raise some money.
Wasn't there someone who was going to call and pledge something? 279-3400, is that phone lit now?
I don't know.
Is that what's happening?
I don't know.
What was the tally before we came on? Wouldn't it be great if we come on 15 minutes and raise some money?
That'd be great.
Wouldn't that make us look good?
That would make us look good.
Don't those listeners... who like us want to make us look good?
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody wants to make us look good.
Yes.
Ooh. What's that, Mike?
This is something that will be coming your way.
We're doing the whole show in 15 minutes.
That's right.
We're going to play this at least a half an hour.
I think
we
have maybe, what, 6-7 minutes left?
Yeah,
what do you think?
Yeah, we've got 6.5 minutes
six
left.
And a half minutes left.
Yeah. Yeah, so. We were allowed 15 minutes if we got on it at 3:40.
It would have been really good if we were listening to the station before we came. Then
oh, yeah. If we were listening to this, but we weren't doing that, were we?
We weren't doing that, no.
So you don't listen to the station, do we?
Well, I would say we don't listen, but we listen to tapes.
Something like that. What is this, Mike?
Total
insanity?
I don't know. It has something to do with something.
So if we clear the lines, will we get mad? We want to clear all the lines.
See who's there.
There might be somebody we know. Let's see who's there. Go.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, it occurred to me...
Yes.
In regard to money...
Yeah.
There used to be a program where certain corporations would have to match whatever individuals contributed.
Uh-huh.
I don't know whether that's still going on. But it would be nicely ironic, for instance, if somebody out there working for, let's say, AT&T...
Right.
Would pledge even a small amount, AT&T would have to contribute to this
program.
That's a very good idea.
That's good, but that'd be commercial corporate sponsors, right?
Right. I don't. That did because I know for IBM for one, and maybe other ones too. It may have, it was a general program. I don't know what it was, whether it was federally subsidized or what. But,
right.
Anyway, it was a thought. It occurred to me when you were talking about the AT&T exclusives they seem to have on the local phone company.
Right.
Also, I had another question. I don't know whether it's directly...
Sally just went up $25.
Look at that, look at that. We just got $25.
Yeah,
I wonder if anybody out there is knowledgeable of a way to access, let's say, the computer system or at various cable TV companies to tell them to turn on, let's say, an addressable box to de-scramble your incoming signal from
there. Right. I don't know. That's a question for our the guy who's on our show.
That's right. The guy who's doing our time.
Yes. So and we can't answer that.
We can't answer that. But if we can get another pledge,
can
we
answer that?
I have a social security number. We want to take a crack at it.
Which one is it? Yours?
Yeah, mine.
Uh huh. Okay. Well, thanks for your call.
066.
066.
Yeah.
copper wire around it and broadcast.
And I got all this space. We could definitely do it.
Oh, man. Let's make our own radio station.
Yes, with WFISH.
Oh, man. If anybody wants to call and say hello to us, it's 279-3407.
Yeah, we can take one call.
No, man.
But Fish, man, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right.
Oh, man.
So what do you think of this tune?
So, Fish, did you make your pledge yet? You gotta make our pledge look good, yeah.
I'm all maxed out on my credit card.
No, yeah. They'll take cash.
They'll bill you, man.
They'll bill
everybody.
Send us a check.
Just say, I ain't paying.
I'll pledge if they bill me.
Yeah, well, call. 793400.
Fish, stay there.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hello. Hi.
Fish, stay there.
I had a couple of things I figured I'd update you on that came up during the program tonight.
Well, then I tell you what, you should call back in like 2 minutes.
I thought it was too lucky.
All right. Well, actually, you know what? You should just hang out.
Yeah, just hang out.
And then
like, we'll be gone. You can get back and forth.
Well, Eric, are you going to take calls when you come right back on? All right. Then I guess you're going to have to hang out.
Okay, yeah, you're going to have to hang out.
All right. What's the
just hung up.
He hung up. We said hang out, and he just.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yo, man.
Who's this?
This is the Night Shift, man.
Oh no! Who is this?
I did my pledge, Mr. Stickworth.
Hey, he did his pledge.
Hey,
all
what's
right.
up, man?
What's up?
How are you?
Tired.
Tired?
Tired.
Oh, man.
Hey, what's up?
I don't know, man. Get some sleep, man.
Say what?
All right, well, we've got our final
minute. Man, turn your phone on,
minute.
Man.
You got to turn your radio down.
Turn your radio down.
We've only got, like, hold on. Hello, you're on the air?
Yeah.
Let me turn my phone down.
Oh, it's Monroe. He's going to give something.
Monroe, do you have
Monroe, look, you know. Actually, you know what? I saw this really good film. Let me talk about this. Only the Lonely and What About Bob? What About Bob is really good, and everybody should go see it. So all the night shifters out there that want to know, it's an excellent review. I give it a 9. Go see it. It's smoking, man. Now, as far as Only the Lonely was a great script, Mike. But,
that's because you can identify with the lead character, probably, right?
Yeah, John Candy.
The Lonely is some of the Hugh guys on your radio show.
Oh, is that Fish?
Yes.
Fish, remember one thing.
Hey, you should go see my friend Sanchez. He collects some money for
death
a price.
Death comes quickly to those who deserve it.
Yo, guys. Peace and love.
All right. Bye. You too. We're going. Fish?
Yes.
You're the only one who's left.
Only one that's left?
Monroe hung up.
Did you guys get cut off yet? Is this other guy on?
No, he'll be on
but he'll be
minute,
on another minute.
Minute and a half.
And
he's standing
just,
guard. He's holding
he's
his
standing
post.
Guard. That's right. As a matter of fact, he's got a gun to Chris's head. Right
you guys are gone.
This is what happens, Will.
Going home? You're going to go see, bro?
My wife's looking as though he just exhumed his grandmother with his bare hands. Absolute cleanliness. That's what I demand from the people around me. Do I make myself clear?
Yes, sir.
Hey.
That's for our immediate retirement. See that fully met. Filthy pig. Last week he offered me an unwashed glass. Now he enters my sight looking as though he just exhumed his grandmother with his bare hands. Absolute cleanliness. That's what I demand from the people around me. Do I make myself clear?
Yes, sir.
As for our immediate requirements, see that fully met. It does no harm to win their confidence. As for him, he relieves my orderly. Home they can. Filthy pig. Last week he offered me an unwashed glass. Now he enters my sight looking as though he just exhumed his grandmother with his bare hands. Absolute cleanliness. That's what I demand from the people around me. Do I make myself clear?
Yes,
sir.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
That's for our immediate requirements.
Three more bits.
Because once they are, I shall then seal off the district and put the inhabitants through a sieve.
All 80,000.
Okay.
Because once
anybody
they are, I shall then seal off the district and put the inhabitants through a sieve.
Anybody else wants to pull the night shift? Go right ahead at 279. Enterprise. 279-3400. Bring that up. Let's see who else is here. We'll get out of here in 30 seconds. Hello, you're on the air.
30 seconds?
Emmanuel. Yeah, 30 seconds. 29 seconds. Hello?
Hello?
Speak to Emmanuel.
Emmanuel? Okay.
Emmanuel?
All right, we'll hold that
stay
call.
There.
Stay there.
Stay there.
Man.
Emmanuel will be on
just
with
stay
you.
Stay there, man.
We're going to do an interlude.
Hello, you're on the air. Can you just hang up?
Hello?
Yes?
I can't hear you through the phone. Wait, hold up.
Oh, jeez.
Okay,
we're
going to
let you go. No, well, listen, we got to go.
We'll
we got
him.
15
you
seconds.
You suck. The two of you really
suck.
Ooh.
All right.
Ooh.
We're going.
We do, don't we? Okay, that call's still on.
That guy's still on.
We'll
you
see
hang
you
out. And we'll be back next week.
Yes. In our usual slot.
And this has been the 15-minute version.
of Night Shift. Thank you.
We came
Goodbye.
In and we did our thing. We made $25, right?
Yes, we did.
All right.
Actually, there's a call in now. We probably made
$50.
Goodbye.
Bye. Hi, it's Emmanuel. I'm back. They've released me. We're going to go to something from the other half of what used to be Big Audio Dynamite, Screaming Target. Then we're going to go take some phone calls, as promised, along with some other fun things. Off the hook until 6 o'clock. What is this? And from Don Letts' new band, Screaming Target, Who Killed King Tubby, from the forthcoming album, Hometown Hi-Fi, here on WBAI in New York. The program is Off the Hook, dealing with high-tech, the abuses thereof, and various little secrets that you're probably not supposed to know about. This is Emmanuel Goldstein, and yes, we will be with you for another couple of hours. We have a phone call. Good morning.
I have a question.
What's your question?
Okay, why is it that network mailing lists and such that are usually carried only on Unix boards like BitNet and ARPANET are never carried on MS-DOS, BBS networks like RIME and FidoNet?
Well, you know, it's what we're dealing with as far as the Unix systems and all that, they're generally much larger, I would imagine, anyway. The systems that that you access, they're multi-user, they have university affiliations much of the time. I don't personally see why there can't be more integration, but it's a fact that there isn't, that a lot of these systems seem to be ones that are similar in nature. You have Unix systems in many college campuses and institutions all over the place.
Yeah.
The FidoNet is just like a whole different world. You know, they don't seem to want to get off into another world and integrate. And there has to be more of that, but still, you know, the uniqueness of each system has to prevail as well.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a good question. I wish I had a good answer for it.
Okay, I also wanted to mention that, you know, there are telephone books were first phone numbers.
Yeah, calls directories.
Yeah, and they're issued for every telephone area code.
Right, those won't give you unlisted numbers, though.
They don't list unlisted numbers?
No, they will not list unlisted numbers. They will tell you an address that has an unlisted phone number, which is kind of interesting, but they will not give... give unlisted. I mean, it's pretty easy to figure out what the unlisted phone numbers are, since it gives it in two ways. It gives it by address and it gives it by phone number, and you'll see numbers that don't that skip.
Right.
So they're the unlisted ones, obviously.
Okay. Another thing. It used to be that everybody had a unique exchange, you know, like a Algonquin 9 or something like that.
Yeah, they spelled out things.
Yeah. What happened to change that?
Well, the phone companies just pretty much, or the phone company actually back then, decided that that kind of system wasn't modern enough. They wanted to go all numbers. It's kind of funny because we've sort of moved back into spelling things out with phone numbers now.
Yeah, it's a lot easier.
But it's not in the same way. Exchanges used to mean something. You know, it used to... I'm not old enough to remember what they actually were, but, like, Stillwell, I think, was one. And, you know, ST would be the first
right.
Two numbers.
Yeah, there's some exchanges that on the east side meant that you lived in a very exclusive area or something like that.
Uh-huh. Now, that's all changed because you can get numbers from, you know, a lot of different exchanges now. And there's new exchanges all over the place. I guess it's something that just went away with growth.
Okay. And one last comment.
Yeah.
Why is it that most journalists and mainstream newspapers never understand the issues involved when it comes to some sort of so-called computer crime, but always take for granted whatever prosecutors or law enforcement officials say?
Well, I don't think you're seeing anything unique to computers there. I think you're seeing the way a lot of journalists operate. They do believe what the prosecution tells them. They believe what authority figures tell them. What's different here is you have something new. You have some new technology that should be understood or should be attempted to be understood by journalists. But a good journalist will try, at least. A good journalist will try, but unfortunately most journalists are not that good.
I mean, they all use modems. They all use. They all have computers, and they all can subscribe to your journal or to other journals or Computer Underground Digest and things like that. And I would expect, you know, that a few of them would at least understand what the technology is and understand what a bulletin board is. They must have younger children using bulletin boards.
Yeah, there is a big generation gap with kids using bulletin boards and their parents who don't know what they're doing. And that holds true for people in the journalism business as well. A lot of them do not understand what these kids are up to. And that's that leads to all kinds of misunderstandings and false perceptions and fear, lots of fear.
Yeah, that's the problem, fear. All you read about is fear in newspapers.
We've got journalists showing up in the 2600 meetings all the time, and nine times out of ten, they don't know the first thing about any of this. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times where I've done interviews with journalists, newspaper, TV, radio, and always the first thing they say is, I don't know anything about computers, so, you know, talk to me on that level. Now, you know, there's two reasons for doing that. Of course, they want to appeal to their readers, listeners, viewers, whatever, who don't know anything about computers. But I find most times they really do not know anything about computers, and I wonder, why in the world are you doing this story if you don't know anything about it? And the unsettling thing is I found that this is the way it works more often than not on any story.
Any story, not just technology.
They don't have experts. It's a job to them. They do the best they can, but they're not experts on what they're talking about. Which means ask anybody who has ever been covered in the media if they are being interpreted correctly, and the answer is always no.
Well, all I see in the newspapers is a lot of sensationalism and no information.
Well, of course, because look at every newspaper, look at every TV station. They're all there to sell something, to get you, to hook you, you know, so that you buy the paper or you watch the newscast and hence all the commercials. And that's the difference between what we do here at BAI, obviously, because we don't need to hook you. You listen because you're interested, and we talk because we're interested in what we're talking about, and that's as simple as it gets.
I know, I'm a subscriber.
I wasn't trying to pressure you or anything like that.
No, I'm a subscriber anyway.
Well, that's great. And I hope everybody that is calling up is a subscriber because it's very important that the station remains strong.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks very much for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
And I believe somebody called before and said 066. Was that what they said for their Social Security number? Well, that's New York, folks. I think that person was born in New York. That's my feeling. That's my opinion. If you trust me with the first three numbers of your Social Security number, I can probably tell you where you were born. Boy, I just feel so powerful. Good morning. Sounds like you're making something.
Good morning.
Ah, how you doing?
Yeah, I just wanted some water there.
Wanted some water, okay.
Just wash dishes. Listen.
Yeah.
This technology thing is a real problem. And that caller before, I caught the end of his early, a couple hours ago, he was telling you you were misleading us. I caught only the end of what he was saying. What was the gist of it? You were misleading us in what way?
Well, by telling people that they should judge a company based on its actions, I guess. Well, you heard the feature where to reveal for the people who haven't listened, AT&T will not tell you how to access operators through MCI or through Sprint. However, Sprint and MCI both tell you how to access operators through AT&T. My view on that is that AT&T is not telling you anything about their competitors. AT&T is far ahead of their competitors. So that tells you something about the mentality of that company. Yet these competitors, even though they're far behind AT&T, will tell you how to access AT&T. I just think that's interesting, and that tells you something about the way the different companies operate.
All right. So what I want to say, Eric, is that Emmanuel, that you got this technology monster, a la George Orwell, 1984, something like that, right?
Well,
that's the general theme which you've been giving us for the past year or so in BAI, right? Is that a fair summation?
Well, it's not that organized. You see,
it's the idea of invasion because of technological things that have a good side also have a negative side, right?
Well, correct. Yes, but it's not. I don't want to make it seem like it's that simple.
No, it's not that it's. How do I mean to make it simple? What did I say that was simple about it?
It's just that there is no one evil entity out there.
It's not an organized plot.
Exactly, but it can still be used against the individual as if there were.
So what did you mean by what did I say that made it sound simple?
Well, no, I just didn't want to give the impression that that we're going on saying something about the evil government or the evil corporations all plotting and scheming, because I don't really think they're to that point yet, but
right.
we're giving away a lot of tools, a lot of methods that could one day be used for just that purpose. Like, imagine a Hitler rising in, say, 30 years somewhere after all of this computer technology is in place,
right,
to allow them to monitor people, to spy on people, to
exactly,
categorize people.
Exactly. And that's where I take the big issue with you right there. I don't see there being a Hitler in 30 years. That whole thing went down in 1939, whatever, because of a different world. I don't see that coming about today, because there are going to be a lot of other people who are, well, whatever. That's when we part company. What is going down now is racism, sex, all the isms, and they're operating just fine with the technology that's not yet becomes the monster which it may become, but that it is the helpful thing which you think it is. Even the helpful thing, well, given the helpful side of it, we still have wage oppression and jobs we hate and this stuff. So I wish you could just like address yourself to other aspects of life than just this technology possible invasion which might come about if a Hitler, you know, comes into power.
Well, I mean, it's not going to be a Hitler, but it is going to be something else. We can't predict what. That's always been our
I mean, the invasion to take place, they'll take place anyway. They have the information that on people, files on people through stuff that was around 20 years ago. You know, Social Security numbers, like you said, they had Social Security numbers in place a long time ago. And the technology they had 20 years ago is enough to trace all of the, you know, when the death squads, when the right-wing death squads want to get somebody, they've got their low-level technology, as low as it is in all South American countries, and Central American countries, that exists. It's much less advanced, right? But still, they have no problem going out and getting the people. So we don't got to worry about this great advance in technology. We got to worry about other things that they're going to come down. If someone's going to come down like Hitler in 30 years, they're not going to need sophisticated technological knowledge bases to get us, okay?
Well, that kind of tool will make things so much easier.
Okay, Eric. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling. And our phone number is 212-279-3407 to be on the air, and 3400 to make a pledge. And yes, you know, I have to keep believing that lack of education is the biggest problem here. You know, people that don't see the importance of understanding how things work and how they could conceivably be used against you. Like the stage.dat file that Prodigy has. And maybe the California licenses. Oh, you haven't heard about this, have you? Well, let's access the Risks Digest again. All right, this comes from Alan Nishioka of Berkeley. I just got my new California driver's license. It has a holographic plastic laminate of DMV and the California seal. It's very nice. My color picture was digitized into an IBM computer, as was my thumbprint and my signature. The magnetic stripe on the back has three tracks. And just for fun, I thought I'd try to read it. I'd previously been able to read bank cards. I found that the information encoded is basically just what is printed on the card. Kind of uninteresting. Of course, I couldn't figure out what little extra information was encoded. It took me a little while to figure out the format, and I suppose it is documented somewhere, but it was fun. There's all kinds of bits of information here. It goes into license number, unidentified digits, separator, expiration date of birth. But imagine, it's a driver's license where you have your thumbprint digitized on it. I'm sure if something like that was happening in New York, we'd be rather concerned as to how that could be used. You know, it's a good way to instantly identify somebody, but do we necessarily want to be instantly identified? Have we reached the stage where we have to be instantly identified? I'm reserving judgment on that for the moment, because I'm not sure. But I do believe we need to know more. And you know, as long as this happens, there's always that spirit of rebellion. This comes from Les Ernest of Stanford. A news report indicates that an increasing number of Americans are thumbing their noses at the federal government's mindless insistence on classifying everyone into traditional ethnic categories. The feds are reportedly fighting back with advanced computer technology. Several years ago, I pointed out that no one had yet devised a scheme that would reliably and unambiguously assign each individual to a particular racial or ethnic category. That was later developed into an article arguing that all statistical studies of racial or ethnic categories and the governmental programs based on them, especially affirmative action, rest upon unstable foundations. I advocated answering questions about one's ethnicity with mongrel, and a number of people later told me that they had used that answer or similar ones in the 1990 federal census. A recent news story says that the Census Bureau received many answers such as a little bit Norwegian, a little bit of everything, California boy, Heinz 57, a fine blend, and steak sauce. They somehow decided that most of these responses came from people of Hispanic descent. According to Roderick Harrison, chief of the Race Statistics Branch of the Census Bureau, other answers included child of God, none of your business, N-O-Y-B, and N-O-Y-F-B. The article goes on to say, this year, for the first time, spiffy new technology enabled the census to decipher each and every write-in answer to the race question. In 1980, only a small sample was read. The census computer was able to sort and assign about 85% of those unique responses to a racial group. This is truly a remarkable claim. Apparently, the computer has somehow figured out not only how to classify individuals into ethnic classes, but how to do it even when they give ambiguous or misleading answers. If this claim holds up under scrutiny, I will nominate it as the first example of true artificial intelligence. The article goes on to mention that there are limits to its classification abilities, but the computer could not match about 200,000 quirky, smart aleck, and just plain weird answers such as golden child, extraterrestrial, alien, exotic hybrid, exchange student, half and half, fat pig, father adopted, race unknown, all of the above, handicapped, and exquisite. Despite these limitations, it appears that the Census Bureau is well ahead of the rest of the world in computer science. And again, our telephone number is 212-279-3400. And if you want to be on the air, it's 212-279-3407. And in a moment, we're going to be reaching out. I didn't think that was in the original. Oh, well. You're listening to Off the Hook here on WBAI New York. Emmanuel Goldstein with you up until 6 o'clock in the morning. And you know, it's just about that time where we do something wild and we do something crazy. And we flex our muscles and move out into cyberspace. Yes, it's time for another episode of Confuse the Operator. Confuse the Operator requires a dial tone. Ah, thank you. And a phone number. And lots of static on the line. Let's try that again. Hello? And a working console. Okay, we should have something working in just a moment. You know, this phone system is really terrible. It's not even allowing me to make a phone call. Talk about confuse the operator, confuse the radio talk show host here. All right, let's try it again. We have to do it in the non-theatrical way. Okay.
One moment, please.
Waiting for an operator here.
Operator,
she hung up on me. I can't believe this. What's wrong with you? What did she say? Operate. That's not the way a phone operator is supposed to work, is it? All right, let's try it again. We're going to get an operator here, folks. It's the last thing we do. Imagine. Delays are unconscionable. What if I fall into the floor? Couldn't get up. Hello? Is there an operator there?
Yes, how can I help you?
Yes, hello. I need overseas information, please.
One moment for an operator who can assist you. Thank you.
Boy, was that a recording? Or was that a recording?
AT&T, how may I help you?
Yes, is this AT&T?
Yes.
Hi, I need the telephone number for AT&T, please. This would be in the country that used to be known as Burma, but is now known as Myanmar.
Burma?
Yeah, no, not Burma anymore, but Myanmar. It used to be Burma. It's spelled M-Y... A-N-M-A-R, I believe.
And you need an area code?
No, there's the AT&T office in the city known as Yangon, which used to be called Rangoon.
Okay, hold on, please.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to connect you to my business office and they will try and give you the number. Hold on.
You're going to connect me where?
At our business office.
The business office in Rangoon? Or, I'm sorry, Yangon?
Rangoon?
I'm trying to reach overseas information there.
Oh, okay. Hold on a minute.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's fine. Connected to another operator. Just a moment, because we don't have that routing coming from New York. Hold on.
Another operator, huh? Okay.
Another operator. We will take care of that. Hold on.
Okay. That'll be my third operator.
And
but who's counting?
Is the police? Hello.
Hello, is this another operator?
ATROC, how can we help you?
Yes, hi, I'm trying to reach overseas information in the country that used to be known as Burma, but is now called Myanmar.
Now called Myanmar?
Myanmar, M-Y-A-N-M-A-R.
Just a moment.
Thank you.
Like Marion in Wadic Yellow?
Yes, A, Apple, N, Nestle, I guess.
It's still listed under Burma, sir.
Oh, it's still listed under Burma. It's been Myanmar for about 2 years now.
Well, perhaps so, but see, probably mostly because of the codings. Once they're established, it'll be difficult to. It would have to be changed internationally for probably it is about close to 1,000 countries.
Oh, really?
So probably they just leave it as Burma only because of the fact that it's already being coded that way.
1,000 countries. Eh? Well, anyway, I need overseas information for the capital city, which I was told was Yangon, but I guess it's still called Rangoon then.
Yeah, it's Brian Coombs.
Okay.
So what else do you need to know?
Well, I need to know the number over there for the AT&T office in Rangoon or Yangon or wherever. Confusing myself here.
I know what you're saying. Okay, it does get quite confusing. I know when we changed Rhodesia to Zimbabwe for a while, we had a lot of problems.
Yeah, that was a real pain. I remember that.
And then when they split Yemen in half, we've gone through a lot of this.
Yeah, but now Yemen's joined together again.
Yeah, but we use different codings.
Uh-huh. I guess the Germany situation really kind of messed things up.
Well, we still use different codings. See, the phone company is very, very set in their ways. They don't change as fast as other things do.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it reverts back to the original, and we're right where we need to be.
I've heard rumors to that effect.
Okay, hold on, please.
Okay, thank you. For the operator here is what we're doing. No need to be alarmed.
Checking, sir. Hold on, please.
Thank you very much.